And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
And Chris finish the last episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. Luckily, dependable Dave Filoni and crew create Rebels with new characters, new places, and new adventures, thus keeping hope alive for this podcast. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars Rebels. In this episode, Ahsoka Tano sends the Ghost Crew to Seelos in search of an old friend, one whose leadership and strategy skills can help the fledgling rebellion. But will this legendary commander be willing to join the fight? There will be Jupa slinging, Kanan angst, and the return of a Clone Wars fan favorite, Rex! We're talking Lost Commanders this week. Hi. My name is Hope Molinax. I am one of the co-hosts of this show. I normally don't introduce myself in the beginning of these episodes, which we probably should do more. Chris, this is my co-podcaster, Chris Honeywell. Hi.
And we're going to see if Hope makes it through this show without stroking out over Rex.
Shut up. I love my Grunkle Rex. He's a cute old man. But this week, the reason I'm introducing myself is because we might end up having some extra listeners this week because we have the lovely, the wonderful, the hilarious, and super positive, and I just love them so much, Maria and Jonna Marie from Geeky Bubble. Hi, guys!
Yay!
Hi!
I'm so happy that you guys are on.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us. I mean, this has been something that we've been trying to work on for like the past month or so now, right?
Yeah, I'm leaving for 221 BCon in 2 days. Like, you guys have celebration next week. Chris is just working.
Yeah.
Somebody has to learn.
I love
my job, Hope, okay?
You have a really sweet job.
I do have a really sweet job.
So, but the reason I wanted to have like you guys on the show is when we were covering season one, I lost count of how many times I said, well, the reason I love Ezra in this scene more than I did the first time I watched it is because I had listened to Rebels chat with John Marie and Ma, and like they were awesome and they made me really love Ezra. And finally Chris was like, why don't we just have him on the show?
God,
and
Hope.
That really means a lot. You know, we never know the effect
that, you know, we do the show and we sit down every week and we talk and we do, but mostly because, you know, we have something in common and we want to spend the time and we enjoy it. But we really don't know the impact that it has on whoever it listens to it. So every time somebody says something and brings out such beautiful words, we, you know, it just rejoices.
It warms our hearts
because it's like, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and I've noticed, like, just in general, unless you have like hundreds and thousands of listeners, it's just hard. But like the percentage of people that will actually like write in and stuff is so small, you never know. But like you just gotta know there's people. When I was listening to their show or your show, I my first thought was, man, I thought we were positive on this topic, but we sound like, you know,
We're assholes compared to them.
Positively trashed. Well, you know, I don't think we've ever really. There's a couple.
I'm scared how the sentence ends.
But I don't think we've ever given like a show a one or something like that. And just like, there's a couple shows that Hope and I beat up on, but.
Sunny Day in the Void.
I mean,
oh,
well,
yeah.
Yes. But, you know, I mean. Since we might have some different people listening in and we got you guys who are some new guys here. Hope and I met. I was with my podcasting partner, the other of the Two True Freaks, Scott Gardner, and we went to Dragon Con one year it's like 2007 or 2008.
One of those. 2008.
2008, and we did a Clone Wars panel, and this was maybe, I think like maybe halfway through the first season of Clone Wars, and it was the first like big con that either of us had been to, like really big con, and we got on a panel for the first time, so we were really excited, and everybody else on the panel with us was just sort of
shitty.
Yeah, shitting on Clone Wars, like finding things that they didn't think matched up. And like we were getting good questions from the little kids who would say, you know, ask us like practical questions, like if the clones aren't supposed to get sick, how come they were getting sick from the virus and stuff like that? Or, you know, or what color gun is, blah, blah, blah. Like those were fun questions. And then the audience was just like, well, don't you think that there's the continuity to this is wrong?
Why
and then
are there five buttons on the ship instead
yeah,
of
yeah, there's supposed
seven.
To be four buttons, and there's five buttons clearly on the wall. Somebody should get fired. And so about halfway through, like out in the audience, someone raises their hand. Who is it? It's Hope Mullinex. Asks a really good question.
I was comparing the episode Innocence of Ryloth to the very recent Rwanda genocide that had recently happened during that time, mm-hmm. and wondering if there was like real world comparisons drawing from Star Wars.
And then in the
or
middle of all those
Star Wars drawing from real world comparisons.
And I just remember looking over at Scott and we were like, oh my God, thank God. Finally, a real interesting actual like question, you know, to about this. And then we talked to her a little bit after the show and we were like, wow, she's got really good energy. And then we just sort of slowly drew her into our podcast.
Nice.
Now that's we so now awesome. Here we are. What is this, like episode 165 or something of?
Something
oh,
like
this
that.
Is 166 of Jay Guys and Jedi already.
Wow!
Most impressive.
I've spent more time talking with Hope than like with most of my real life friends the last year.
It's funny how that works out, right?
The only time, yeah, the only people who get more FaceTime with me are my housemate and my coworkers.
Nice.
Well, actually, since you guys for our listeners, how like what is Geeky Bubble Podcast and like how did you guys get started?
Yeah, so Geeky Bubble was originally Rebels Chat, and we started that in 2014 when Star Wars Rebels was up and starting to get up and running, and I had turned to my mom and I said, we're going to do a podcast. And my mom's like,
and I was like, what?
What's a podcast?
What's a podcast?
And I was like, how do you not know what a podcast is? I had been podcasting with the people before this. And I tell you that I'd been podcasting.
I had no idea. I didn't even have a Twitter account.
At the time. That's right. That's right.
I say, and she comes, you have to get a Twitter account. Is that too?
And then we started chatting about Rebels, and it slowly went into the Clone Wars, and now we're in Resistance. And yeah, it's become this little thing between us where we just talk about these animated shows.
Hope and
you
I
like
are fighting.
The Filoni-verse.
Yeah, Hope and I have to fight every week not to talk about Resistance now.
Oh, like, yeah.
We fight ourselves every week. We come in to talk about Rebels, and we've just watched episodes of Resistance and are like, don't worry, we'll get to talk about it in 2 years. Rebels.
I think it's fun, like, between our two shows, because, like, when you guys were doing Rebels, you guys were doing it, like, week by week as the episodes were coming out.
Right, yeah.
And we're looking at Rebels from the point of view of people who have seen the entire show. So, like, we're looking at, like, you know, like, here are some building blocks in season one. Like the world between worlds. We see the world between worlds in season one, but exactly. We know what it is in season four.
Yeah. So like, really, you have a higher view.
Yeah, so it's very interesting because, like even episode one, there were parts where, like, me and Chris were like, whoa, that's like a season four thing.
Yeah, this was better. We started realizing it was way better planned out than it seemed like when you first just watch it through.
Yeah. I remember telling people that from a week to week basis, I can see how some would be more critical of it. But once you binge the whole thing, it actually makes sense.
I don't know if you remember, I kept saying, you know, you have to give it a chance. Wait and see. You never know. You never know what's going to happen later.
People about Resistance, like the beginning of these Filoni cartoons is always kind of slow. They're always sort of figuring out getting their sea legs, and then. But once they take off, they take off, and they take the time in the first season to sort of set things up and maybe not be as exciting as you would think. But you just have to wait, and eventually Darth Vader will show up and start messing things up.
Exactly. Even in the sequel trilogy, he'll show up.
Yeah.
There's rumors that Hayden Christensen has filmed for episode 9, but I don't take any rumors into account until the movie's out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of rumors about new Star Wars movies to not believe any of them anymore. Like, The Last Jedi was supposed to start out with Luke Skywalker's cut-off hand floating through space, gripped onto his lightsaber, and somebody going, oh, what's this? You know, so...
I just don't listen to any of that. I just go with a fresh view. Like, what? Give it to me. Tell me what it is, and I'll tell you afterwards.
Yeah.
It was actually you guys that like got me onto the trend of like sometimes you just don't need to be critical. Just enjoy a thing just to like it. Just enjoy it. Like, it's just let it be what it is. And I try to apply that more and more. Where it's just like sometimes I just like things because they're cool.
Definitely takes a conscious effort. Like even I tend to go like with the Pokemon movie, that Pokemon live action movie that
I'm
when
so
it,
excited.
See, well you're and then the first time I saw it, I thought no.
And I said
this cannot be.
And I went like, but give it a chance. Right, you know, wait and see. You know, maybe they give us a little bit here and there that's gonna click with you. You never know.
Exactly.
You just have to be open.
Yeah.
If in the end you don't like it, then you don't like it. But be
please
open.
Me and my best friend have already planned to go to a movie tavern so we can drink wine and watch Pokemon like the 31-year-olds we are.
Oh my god,
that is the best way
we
to do it.
We have already planned that date.
Oh, fabulous.
Well, are you guys ready to get into The Lost Commanders?
We're ready.
Chris, you didn't answer. Are you not ready?
Oh yeah, you know I'm excited about this. I'm on the edge of my seat.
I will say, and I feel like I should just say that in case any of your listeners are coming here, if you've already not been able to tell, we are a not safe for work podcast. So we've already done a little bit of swearing. I've already told Maul that she's more than ready to be unleashed. She can swear if she wants.
That's right, Maul unleashed.
Maul unleashed, I love it.
We pride ourselves being the quote unquote classiest podcast in the galaxy.
That's right. And we unleash the moms here at Jay Guys and Jedi.
We do. So I just want to let, if you're a Geeky Bubble listener and you're coming over and listening to us, we are a not safe for work podcast. There's a chance they're swearing and stuff like that. So if the chillins are in the car, you might want to hold off.
No one puts mom in the goddamn corner in Jay Guys and Jedi.
Oh, I love it.
My goal is by the end of the night to get John to swear.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the challenge.
That's a big challenge.
Jonna, you
does she swear happy or does she swear when she's mad?
I've only heard her when she's mad, but like seriously mad, because with her there's different levels of madness, you know. It has to hit the ceiling. It has to be up there for her to say something.
All right.
And when
we might
she
have
does,
to work up to this then.
When she does, I just step episode. Back and just say, you know what? Okay, she swore. That's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. I don't want to know.
Well, Jonna, you don't have to swear if you don't have to, if you don't want to.
We will see.
I don't know. Maybe I'll adjust my opinions on this episode to see if I can... wound up.
Chris will just add it in, like edit in like beeping sounds to make it sound like John is swearing, which he's not.
Ooh.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah. Well, it just happened.
Yeah, it just did. You could add a before hilarious. Yeah, that's right.
That's
all right. Everyone ready?
Folks.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. The Lost Commanders is the 18th episode of Star Wars Rebels, and it was released on October 14th, 2015. It was written by Matt Michnovitz and directed by Dave Filoni and Sergio Paz?
I would think Paz.
Paz. Thank you. Some extra information for you. While he's already voiced other characters on the show, like Admiral Constantine and Ezra's father, Dee Bradley Baker is back, reprising his role as the clones Rex, Wolf, and Gregor from The Clone Wars. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I live in Georgia, and there's pollen everywhere. Oh, no. Sorry. The undershirt that Gregor wears is adorned with the logo of the Power Slider diner that he worked on Abelfar during the Clone Wars. Agent Kallus has undergone some unspecified promotion, as his Season 2 animation model sports a slightly different rank badge. The Jupiter fishing sequence is an extended homage to the 1975 movie Jaws, and I bet I just killed one of Chris's notes. This is the first appearance of Sabine's teal hairstyle, her second one in the series. Her armor also has slightly different patterns and designs. In Rebels Recon, Dee Bradley Baker talks about his excitement about returning to the role of the clones, because he never thought that they would be seen again after the Clone Wars. He called it a dream come true. Dave Filoni talked about Dee Bradley Baker approaching the clones differently this time. Rex is pretty much the same. Wolf is more grumpy than he was, and Gregor is off his rocker because he survived a massive explosion. Dee Bradley Baker said that he was most frightened to do Gregor because he's a shell-shocked, wacky uncle. He worked hard with Dave Filoni to find Gregor's voice, so it was still believable that it's Gregor, but he's still a bit unhinged. Interesting point. Dave Filoni says in Rebels Recon that Wolf was not the clone that took out Plo Koon in Order 66, but... Last year at Dragon Con, in response to a fan question of why Wolf said the Jedi betrayed them, Henry Gilroy said that Wolf's chip did activate during Order 66, and it messed with his mind, and it was very likely that Wolf participated in Order 66. But, he never specifically states that Wolf killed Plo Koon, and he left that purposely very vague. So that could be an explanation of why Wolf is so paranoid, as the chip did hurt his brain in some way, even after the chip was removed. And I just want to note that this is just probable canon and possible canon. It's not official canon, since it's not stated in the show. Filoni and Hidalgo go on to say that not all clones participate in Order 66. Rex got the truth from Fives back in Season 6 of Clone Wars, and at first he didn't believe it, but it stuck with him until Rex found the truth. Pablo Hidalgo also answered a fan question about the surviving clones. Some of them had pretty sad situations, and they're this lost generation of underappreciated veterans that saved the galaxy and got discarded. Others stayed loyal to the Empire and became training guards and became instructors in the academies for stormtroopers. And finally, in one of the unfinished episodes of Clone Wars, there is a clone ship with a pinup picture of Padme Amidala on it. When Anakin saw it, he told Rex to have it taken down. In this episode, the concept art of that Padme pinup is in the background of the clone ship, and Rex, Anakin would be so mad at you right now. I actually have a question about this. I don't remember if it's you, Jonna, or maybe I heard this from another podcast, but was it you at some press thing that asked about what happened to clones that didn't participate in Order 66?
That's right. That was at New York Comic Con, and it was leading up to Season 2, because we saw the trailer and we knew that Rex was going to be involved in that season. So I forget his exact wording, but Dave mentioned that there was like a suborder. So for anyone whose chip didn't activate and who refused to participate, there was a suborder for the clones around him to attack that clone in the event that they didn't participate. So, yeah, so even if you got away with not shooting down a Jedi, you were going to be executed in some way by your fellow brothers.
Damn, son.
I know, right?
That was rough.
Well, yeah, put a positive spin on that.
I hope that's not what happened to Jesse, because he's really the only clone from the 501st. Like, we don't know what happened to it. I'm just like, I need to know what happened to Jesse.
That's right.
The Rebels is a lot less depressing show, because Hope and I had so many depressing discussions about how shitty it was to be a clone.
Seriously.
Yeah. They're a soldier. That's what they do. That's what their role. And it's not easy. People think it's easy to just go into a battle and just start shooting and simply killing. It's not easy. It goes against everything, believe it or not, against what life is all about. We're about living, about enjoying, and being a soldier and being put in that position is against all that. It's not a thing.
That's sort of why I think that they stopped the draft as much. Because when you used to have armies of people that were drafted, a lot of the time people would be like, both sides would be, you'd have all the soldiers would be running and they would shoot in the air, you know, because they didn't want to shoot anybody, because it's just a natural human reaction not to want to shoot anybody. And you're drafted and you're like, I don't want to be here.
It's sort of
like the clones. You don't have a choice in the matter. So I think that's why they sort of turned towards like people volunteering. So they were like, well, I wanted to be here.
Yeah. Trying to think of a way to segue it into Dirty Yoda.
wanted to be here, Yoda did.
Ooh.
Hello, ladies.
Ooh, sexy Yoda.
Yoda showered today. Ladies on the show.
Did you put on your best swamp gas cologne?
You like?
Just so you know, Yoda is one of my favorite characters in the whole Star Wars.
Oh, don't compliment him. That's a bad idea.
Oh, hello.
So this is our third podcaster, Yoda.
Powerful with the forces, Yoda.
Well, Yoda, our question for you this week comes from Aaron Henley. I had Aaron write us a question because he also listens to you guys' show as well. So, hi, Aaron.
Oh, hey, Aaron. Yeah, that's right. Hey.
Hey.
Go ahead, Mom.
Oh, no, I just want to say we love him, because he always sends great questions, great comments and insights. And we love all our commentators, everybody that sends an email or a question or a comment. We love that, because it tells us that what we're doing is not just for us. It's also entertaining others. And we love that.
I always feel like I'm the most critical asshole that writes you.
No,
not at all.
My God, no.
I mean, that Torah email from way
back. Oh, Hope, there's bigger assholes than you.
That's true. I'm a cute, dainty asshole, and I'm pretty. I'm minty fresh. Ew! Anyway,
Yoda looks like a mint.
All right, so Yoda, your question this week. If you could have a duet with somebody, who would it be and what would you sing?
Only one singer qualified to sing with Yoda. Looks like Yoda. Even sounds like Yoda. Probably too young you are to remember Tiny Tim.
Oh, Tiny Tim!
I was going to say Gumby.
I was going to go for Size Noodles. I was thinking Size Noodles, but please explain Tiny Tim. I'm confused.
Through the tulips tiptoe.
That's right. The only reason I know Tiny Tim is because my brother loves the movie Insidious. I think that's the one.
Yeah.
And, yep, that's the one. There's like this scene where you hear this song. That's a particular song.
That's a particular, that pervades. It goes through the whole movie. It comes up here and there.
Yeah, and every time he always sings that, my brother sings that song to creep me out. but the singer himself is a very interesting. Yes. And I remember seeing a YouTube video of him singing that particular song. So, yeah.
He kind of looks like Yoda with Weird Al's hair.
Yeah!
I was going to say that, like, Weird Al, like, a very older, very, you know, Weird Al.
Yeah.
Distinguished? Hmm?
Distinguished, yeah.
My mind went to like Charles Dickens' Christmas Story, Tiny Tim, and I was very confused for how.
No, of course, for the people listening right now, Tiny Tim's playing in the background, but of course that's the magic of editing. But yeah, Tiny Tim was this little short guy who dressed in like a Nehru jacket and had like long permed. This was in the 60s and 70s too, like long permed Weird Al hair. And he's sang in the most, like, glorious, weird falsetto.
Yeah.
Yes.
And his most famous song is Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
With the ukulele.
Yeah.
Yes, and he had always had a ukulele. Yes. And, yeah, he was kind of short, too.
Uh-huh. So when you say like Yoda, I went for the green color. So I thought you were going to say Gumby.
I don't know if I've ever heard Gumby sing, but I would like to hear that.
Yoda, I don't know. What are your thoughts on Gumby?
Gumby? Yeah. Weak in the forces, Gumby.
I thought you were going to say he was a poser because you do green better. No, that'd be Kermit. Kermit is your poser.
No, Kermit.
Yeah, that would be the obvious is Yoda to sing It Ain't Easy. But Yoda, what song would you sing with Tiny Tim? Would it be...
Yoda's favorite band, Pink Floyd.
Oh!
Wish you were here. Me and Tiny Tim on the stage.
Yeah. Are you going to sing some?
No.
I like that hard no.
I think he's getting it. Are you getting your note, Yoda? Wait a minute.
How I wish you were here. We're just two lost souls swimming in the fishbowl. Year after year. Running over same old ground. How we found same old fear. Wish you were here.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Yoda. That's we'll see enough. You next week.
Maybe Yoda wants to stick around.
Yeah, you're fine.
Maybe sit in lady's lap.
Yoda, you are welcome to sit on my lap anytime.
You don't know what you're asking. Yoda, I love you. Get out. Bye.
Bye, Yoda.
Bye, Yoda.
Wow.
Yeah, don't encourage him, guys. You don't want to be polite and stuff, but you really don't have to be.
During the kids arc, in Clone Wars, where they were all finding their like kyber crystals and stuff, we had to have like spray bottles for Yoda.
We had to just dump water on Yoda and kick him.
Because we were like, this is the children's arc. You're not allowed.
Good. Yeah.
Wow. Everyone ready for Act One?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let me get
work for Act One. Hope you know that.
All right, pumped.
I'm stoked.
Stoked with a gun. All right. Act One.
Okay.
We join our heroes in a meeting with Commander Sato. It's not great news since Vader blew up their command ship last week, and Vader probably had a really great time doing it. And because of that, Sato says that they're going to have a hell of a time finding the Empire in this area. And Ezra's like, guys, we should just run and hide. And everyone just kind of stares at him. And Ezra explains that he used to run and hide to find places to regroup. And Sato's like, oh, you mean we should find a base for this area. Not bad, new kid. And Ahsoka looks so proud of her new little blueberry. Unlike Kanan, who looks like he just really hates everything, and he hates all of this, and he just hates life in general. And he's all snippy with Sato, and in a very rare dangerous move, because you should never do this to your wife, he's undermining Hera at times. Even after last week when she confronted him, he's still being pretty snooty. Overall, they really just need more allies to help them out, because they can't help people without regrouping, and they can't regroup without a base, but they can't get a base without help. And Ahsoka kicks in the door going, I know a guy! He is a really, really cool guy! He's been, like, my bestie since the Clone Wars movie, and everyone is going to love him, except for Kanan. He's gonna have a really terrible time. But my friend can help us find a base. The problem is, she hasn't been able to get in contact with her friend for some time, but she has an idea how to find him. So Ahsoka and the Spectres gather on the Ghost, and Ahsoka brings in an old Clone Wars tactical droid head. And Ezra's like, excuse me, why are you bringing in the equivalent of an old Nokia brick phone to an iPhone time period? And Ahsoka's like, because, child, the old Nokia phones are the greatest thing ever made, other than the original Game Boys. And this thing will help us too. And she tells him to start with the Celo system, but she's not going to come with them. She has other things to attend to, like finding out more about the Sith Lord from last week, and seeing if his name starts with Anakin and ends with Skywalker. But before she leaves, Ahsoka takes Kanan, and he holds him by the face, by the cheeks, and all of his cheeks are in her hands. She looks him dead in the eye, and she says, Kanan, trust my friend. And Kanan's like,
okay. Ahsoka, you're hurting my face.
Ahsoka saunters out of there like the badass, yes, queen, she is. And the Ghost crew then leaves for Celos. And then they arrive at Celos, and everything's on fire, because the Ghost is on fire, and Chopper didn't fully fix the hyperdrive from last week. Because of that, Hera and Chopper are going to have to stay behind. You know, for plot reasons. So Space Dad crams Zeb, Ezra, and Sabine into the Phantom minivan, and they head down to the planet. And they fire up the old tactical droid, and they're all skeptical about finding this guy. And Zeb points out that maybe this great commander doesn't even want to be found. Suddenly, the droid picks up a set of numbers. 7, 5, 6, 7, and I freak out because it's a Clone Wars thing. And they follow the signal until they spot in the distance an old Clone Wars-era AT-TE walker, just sort of moseying across the desert. And Kanan is automatically like, Clone Wars stuff! I almost fell out of my chair! I don't like this, Sam, I am! I do not like modified Clone Wars walkers that ham up the show. I literally almost fell out of my chair, guys. Sorry, I had to catch myself. And they land the Phantom as the walker comes to a stop. Our heroes wait and watch as the door kicks open and out walks one of the greatest heroes to ever crease. Star Wars canon, the one, the only, the man who I have a tattoo on my ankle, Captain Rex. As an old man, and Wolf and Gregor are there too. What everyone think of Act 1? I need a drink.
You gonna be okay, Hope?
I rolled too far back, and because I have carpet, and I have this like little hard mat thing for my chair, and my chair wheel definitely hit the carpet, and I almost fell out of it. It's fine.
One of my notes is just like, because I know you started Rebels late. You didn't start watching it when it first came on, but then you got interested because you heard Ahsoka was on it, and then you probably caught right up, and then all of a sudden you get Ahsoka and Rex at the same time. Yeah, I don't know how you even survived to this.
I cried.
To the second viewing of it. I'm sure you did.
I've written about it many times about like
both of them at the same time.
Yeah, hearing Rex's voice in the trailer for the first time and hearing people scream for him. Like I've written about that moment many times.
It would be like if I was watching it and a big clanky greavy foot came down and I was just like, it's him. That wasn't gonna happen.
Jonna Muddy was the same. She was crazy. Like I come from a background where I didn't know of Clone Wars or anything like that when we started doing the show.
Right.
I actually, she started making me watch Clone Wars also so that I could get a better background of what was happening. and I knew something about she liked the clone.
Yeah,
he was obsessed with a clone, but I really didn't know. And when it came, she was crazy. She was like, oh my God, Rex, my husband. Oh my God.
No, yeah. Oh my God. This sounds so familiar to me.
See why I wanted to have them on my show? Maul is you and Jana is me. I mean, how much do you talk about Commander Pyre as your boyfriend in your eight years?
Oh my gosh.
Yes, my new boyfriend.
Yeah,
Commander
that's the
Pyre.
New boyfriend.
That's me with the Grand Inquisitor and Thrawn.
That's right.
You guys are so fickle, though.
No, it's not about being fickle, I think. It's just, you know.
No.
How many husbands? I wonder how many husbands.
Inquisitor is my boyfriend. There's a difference.
No, Jonah Marie actually.
Like, one's the husband, one's the husbando.
Jonah Marie actually married Rex.
In my mind, of course.
And I don't know what she's doing now with Pyre cheating on Rex. I don't know how that's going or how that's going to end, but...
It's a different era. It's a different life in my head.
Yeah. What was it, like 2010 for you?
Yes, that's right. my weird timeline situation with the sequels. Yeah.
We'll start with you guys. You guys are the guests. What'd you guys think of this first act?
Well, I liked how and we had mentioned this, and Jonah had mentioned this also, how Ezra is the one with the maturity and the openness, while a Kanan, who's supposed to be the adult, is the one with the, you know, pouty face and I don't want to be here.
Right.
And it was a very nice... change there for the two characters.
Yeah, especially when, you know, they see the three clones come out and it takes them a little while to recognize, well, it takes Kanan a little while to recognize who they are. And then he steps forward around everyone to protect them with the lightsaber. But then, you know, Ezra steps forward and he introduces himself and he introduces the others. But yeah, I really liked how they switched roles in this episode, and you start to see that really early on in this episode.
Yeah, and Ezra's been sort of picking up on the responsibility lately, and you could tell people are trusting him too, because at first they weren't going to listen to anything he was saying, and now they're starting to take his decisions seriously. And back to what Hope and I are always talking about, how they cover PTSD in this. I mean, Kanan just got tortured for a while. You know, he just got rescued from being tortured. He probably pretty much thought he was going to die. And so he should be a little messed up right now. And now he's getting confronted with clones who, you know, murdered his master. And as far as he knows, are all, you know, programmed to kill him. So, yeah, I mean, really, they should be just like, maybe you should go sit down in the ship for a while, you know, have some lemonade and we'll take care of this, you know.
Right. No, yes. And one of the things that I always liked about Ezra is that he has this view from the outside where he's able to see, you know, where everybody's coming from. And he's able to give everybody the chance and the opportunity and sort of like step in and say, okay, no, that this shouldn't be happening. And this is what we should be doing. One of my favorite episodes is the one where he finds the droids and they're basically fighting together.
The last battle. You're skipping ahead, man.
Yeah, but
that's okay.
But, you know, it's. And the reason it connects, because of his view of how he's in the outside and he's able to see what all these generals and commanders and supposedly smart people were not able to see at the moment and allowed to destroy them, basically.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love Ezra.
I have to keep reminding myself I'm not listening to your podcast and I can actually answer things.
Yeah.
Because I was just listening and I was like, oh, I can answer.
This is what that I know. It's weird being on the other end of that too, Cope, because this is what happens every time we have roundtables of like listeners. They're just like, oh wait, that's right. We have a microphone.
I'm debating. Should I do my PTS note from Act Two now, or should I wait? I'll wait. I'll come back.
Yeah. We'll make it a running theme.
Yeah. Well, for me, like one of the things I liked about Act One is because like last week, Hera had confronted Kanan about him like not wanting to be part of the rebellion, and he was still very like moody about it and stuff. But he was outvoted by the rest of the team, so now they're there. And I like that they just didn't let that go, because like if this was like a pre-mid-2000s animated show, probably it would be like Kanan would be fine and he'd be with the heroes and it'd be all be great. But like we're in a renaissance of animated television now, and I like that they are still continuing to like carry that on from last week, and it's going to be an arc for several episodes for him to learn how to trust Rex. So it's just a really good bit of writing of them not just dropping this because Hera talked to him last week and he's magically fine, because he wouldn't be.
Right.
And not just getting used to Rex, but also acclimating to his position as a Jedi, as a general,
Gregor
called him.
Yeah.
And he said, no, don't call me that. But that's basically what he becomes. That's what he was meant to be. And he just goes through his trials and tribulations, and he becomes that.
Yeah. And the only other note I have is I just love the Clone's Walker. Have you ever seen Howl's Moving Castle? Howl Miyazaki?
Yeah, that was, oh my gosh, years and years ago, because my cousin had like the VHS of it.
For you who don't know what a VHS is.
It's the cousin to the Nokia.
Do you remember having to adjust the tracking to watch
it? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Good times.
Their walker just reminds me of, like, a mix of, like, Hayao Miyazaki's castle and my grandparents' house. Because, like, my grandparents always had, like, all these, like, chimes and, like, these, like, weird knickknacks in the yard and stuff. And it's like, a nice mesh that reminds me of, like, I'm expecting Hal to come out with my grandparents.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they had those chimes. It was very soothing at times, and I feel like that's what they need. They need that solitary space and then the occasional sounds that will just make them feel calm.
Well, yeah, you're out in a desert, and the only other sound is like the mechanical sound of the thing walking you want. You know, it's the desert. There's not even birds flying around chirping. You want something sort of... And they're out of the military now. They're in retirement. They're living in their house. They don't have to keep it up to military. You know, they can decorate and
they can put Padme's pin up in the wall in this fine.
And nobody's gonna yell at them. Although that would be really funny if Vader found it. You know, like was like, oh, I'm gonna investigate this old abandoned. What the Padme?
Next thing you hear is like a mechanical like clunk 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 against the wall. And Rex is like, what's that sound?
Yeah. The Emperor calls it on, like, my young apprentice. Oh, sorry. I'll call you back.
All he hears is, like, fast breathing, like.
Oh, my.
That's so disturbing.
Welcome to Jay Guys and Jedi.
I don't think that's the first time we've made jokes like that about Vader.
I'm marking that as the classiest part of the show so far.
Yeah. Chris, did you so have far. Any other notes for Act One?
Who, me?
Yeah.
I only have one other little note, and I wish I'd specified it more because I can't remember the moment it happened. But there was a nice little like melodic musical theme in here, and I want to say it was when a spaceship was flying, but it was like an unusual one. It was something probably I imagine Kevin Kiner did the music for this one, but it was something more original that he wrote. And so far in Rebels, they've been reusing a lot of original trilogy music, so when I hear something new, it was just kind of nice. But it fit and sounded very John Williams-y. It was just nice. But that's all I got.
Did you ladies have any other notes about Act One?
Well, I mean, just the fact that Rex comes out, you know, there's that moment, that pause.
That's all that matters to her.
there's that pause when they come out of the ship and they're waiting to see who's in this giant walking ATT, and out comes Rex. And it's just like, oh, heart fluttering.
I also like the lack of music there, because all you can hear is the wind chimes.
That's right. Yes. Yeah.
And the beating of your own hearts.
Yeah. He's such a cute little old man.
He is.
I call him.
Is he a silver fox?
Yes, he is.
Did you ever see the show Gravity Falls?
No, I didn't.
Because that's why I call him Grunkle Rex.
Yeah, that's right. I do know the reference, though, because my friend used to watch it. And then I think that was something that was on Tumblr, I think. Like, yeah. That the use of the name Grunkle Rex. And so I had my friend explain it to me.
I constantly tag him as Grunkle Rex. That's what we will be calling him from here on out. All right. Everyone ready for Act 2?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm ready.
All right. Act 2. Grunkle Rex pulls a "get off my lawn!" But Ezra brings up his old clone number, 7567. And Rex is like, "What did you just call me, kid? Vice's ghost will hunt you for that one, boy." And Kanan realizes that they're clones, and he whips out his lightsaber. And Wolf isn't the sassy eye rolling man he was in the Clone Wars anymore, and he shoots at them. And everyone's on guard, like it's an old western or that scene from The Office where they're all pointing finger guns at each other. And Grunkle
Rex. Or some Quentin Tarantino movie or something.
Yeah. And Grunkle Rex gets everyone to stand down. And he has to talk Wolf down extra, because the old man is clearly scared. Ezra, being the shining golden boy he is, talks Kanan down too, reminding him that Ahsoka wanted him to trust her friend. And they all introduce themselves like it's an episode of Pokemon, because every episode of Pokemon, they're always like, "Hi, I'm Ash, and these are my companions." And we're, "No, you've been on for 20 years. They all introduce themselves, and Ezra mentions that Ahsoka sent them. And Rex is like, "Ahsoka, oh my god, I love her. I watched her grow up from a little shaver on Christophsis with terrible comebacks like Sky Guy, and she grew into one of the best characters of Star Wars. We even fought together in the Siege of Mandalore, that you'll be able to watch later this year on the Disney streaming service when Season 7 drops. If you're friends of hers, then you come on in." And they all gather inside the walker, and Ezra presents why they're there. They need help to fight the Empire, and they want the clones to join them. But Rex is like, "Oh, woe is me, I'm a weak, frail old man." And the snooty Emperor, Papa Palpatine, said that we all suck now, so we're just enjoying retirement. And Rex turns down the offer. So Ezra asks if he knows where they might find a base. Gregor wants to help, but Wolf is against it. Finally, Rex says there are a few places that he never reported to the Empire, because Rex worked for the Empire, and that hurts me deeply. On a deep personal level. And he'll put together a list for them and send the heroes, and he sends the heroes outside. Once they're outside and alone, Wolf is like, "Rex, man, come on. What's wrong with you? The Empire's gonna kill us if they find out that we're helping a Jedi." But Grunkle Gregor is like, "You know what? Let's just go fishing. That'll be fine." And Gregor heads outside, and he makes a deal with them. Since they're helping out the Spectres, he wants them to help them fish for something called a Jupa. It's a big game animal that would feed them for an entire year. They tentatively agree, and Gregor's like, "Great, let's get your friend Zeb ready." And Zeb is like, "Oh, I really hate all of you right now." Meanwhile, Alexander Kallus is waiting in the wings for Rebels. I sing Hamilton every time I bring it up.
Oh my god, Hope, can you even stand it? If the Grand Inquisitor showed up, wouldn't you just like explode? Wouldn't you just go like,
I would die. When I found out that Kallus's real first name was Alexander, all I could hear was, "Alexander Kallus." And I just sing Hamilton every time. That's what I do. Well, him and his ship get a message from the clones. Wolf has called the Empire, but because he's called the Empire before with wild, crazy stories, Admiral Constantine wants to blow it off. But Kallus decides to send out a probe droid just to check it out. Back with the heroes, Kanan is chilling in the Phantom, which is now hitching a ride on top of the walker. Ezra comes in and he's like, "Hey, Space Dad, you always want me to talk about my feelings, so I think you should talk about yours. What's going on with you? The clones haven't done anything to us, and you're sort of being a dick about all of this. And Kanan's like, hold up, Space Son. For one, you're not allowed to say dick. I'm the adult. Number two, I'm not being a dick. They're the dicks, and they're dangerous dicks at that. And Ezra's like, well, I don't think that the Queen of Star Wars, Ahsoka Tano, would be friends with a bunch of dicks. I get more of a lesbian vibe from her, maybe bisexual at most, but definitely leans towards women, and she wouldn't be friends with dicks. I trust Ahsoka, and she trusts Rex. And finally, Kanan tells Ezra about Order 66 and the clones were his friends, his brothers in arms, and one night they just turned on him and killed his master. He mentions that they said that clones had chips in the head. You can see season 5 of Clone Wars for that. And he made them do it. Rex then kicks in the door and says, look here, kid, I didn't betray my Jedi because Anakin Skywalker was my bro. We're super tight. So tight I have a picture of his wife in my house. And we took out our chips because we wanted a choice. And Ghost Fives would be so proud of Rex right now, who drops the mic and saunters out. And Ezra believes Rex too. But out in the desert, there's a crash, and a probe droid rises from the sand. But we don't got time for that, because it's time to sling for some Jupas. And poor Zeb is tethered to a ship on a harness and walking out into the desert, ready to try and take out some big animal. And they see bursts of sand in the distance, and they halt the walkers. But when Gregor mentions how much Jupas just love Lasats, Ezra realizes that Zeb is the bait. And you know Gregor is just kind of sort of fine with that. But Space Dad is pissed because you don't use his space children as bait without his permission. And suddenly, a tentacle shoots out from the ground and rips Zeb beneath the dirt. And Gregor is just super excited because it could be Big Bongo, the elusive Jupa. And the hunt begins! Rex puts Sabine on the line to make sure that they can save Zeb. And Rex is very smart, and he's a great leader, and this is why we love Rex. High five to Jonna.
Yes! Woo!
And Kanan and Ezra are to shock the line to bring the Jupa back to the surface. It's a tough fight, and the line is threatening to break, and Ezra's shocking the thing, but it's worth it, because up from the ground bursts Big Bongo, and he is not a happy camper. What'd you think of that, too?
Just the whole Jupa sequence was one of my favorites, I think, and Gregor just being very Gregor.
Yeah, just it's like we know they're all like representations of veterans, you know, war heroes that come back home and they're just relaxing, and
I actually have that note. They remind me straight up of Vietnam veterans.
Yeah.
Vietnam veterans in Star Wars world.
Yeah.
And, you know, here he is, you know, with his thing going on, trying to get the best out of life. And to him, that is hunting the Jupa.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a whole hell of a lot more to do on that planet than do that. Probably.
Yeah.
It's just like, and then once they got one, then they can just eat and sort of, I don't know, they probably play cards or something like that, you know?
Yeah, it makes you wonder how long ago they had hunt down the other, you know, like another Jupa.
I know. I wonder if they have just like old moldy remains of the last Jupa and they're just like, ah, we need a fresh one.
Maybe that's what the chimes are made of, like Jupa bones.
This was the most Jaws-like scene in the whole thing, and what I liked about it is the music in it was very much like the light music that they used in Jaws when they were first hunting the shark and they were just sort of fishing for it, and it was very... and. So they still reference back to Jaws, but without doing the obvious, you know, dur-dum music.
Yes, exactly.
Which would be like a little too on the nose, but I liked it. It was, and I like just how cavalier they are with Zeb's life. They're just like, yeah, you know, because I'm watching like his, you know, his lines underneath rock and dirt. And I'm like, if he's not inside the Jupa, he's getting torn apart by rock because they're traveling like 70 miles an hour through the undersurface of this hard desert world, and if he's in his mouth, that doesn't seem like it would be. The Jupa seemed to have quite a few teeth. So it was just like, ah, well, we'll see how it turns out.
And another favorite part. Yes, that's okay.
Yeah.
But another favorite part of mine was when Kanan was talking about his past. And I think Freddie Prinze Jr., that was one of his best performances when it came to that character. Especially when he says how the clones had gunned down his master. Like that particular line, you can hear how it still has an effect on him.
I mean, that scene also resonates if you've read Kanan the Last Padawan.
Yes.
Yeah.
So good.
it really is good. Because, like, and something I love so much about that is you can clearly see why he distrusts the clones. Because, like, they were his friends. Like, they saved his life. And then they turned on him suddenly one night. And so, like, I have a note that says Kanan spent all of last season trying to get Ezra to open up. But now Kanan's one's shutting down. But I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. Actually,
it's got to be pretty traumatic. And now I'm gonna jump into the future a little bit. And like Kanan and Zeb both have to like work together with people who basically tried to genocide them. Yeah. You know, not just like somebody who like tried to kill you in a fight. Somebody who's trying to wipe out all of your people. You know.
Yeah,
that's so true.
Yeah,
that's something I feel like, and I've mentioned this before, but like I feel like it was a very missed opportunity in season 4 when Kalish joined the Rebels, because I just wanted a scene, just one scene of like Zeb and Kalish, like even if it was Kalish just going, I know no matter what I'm gonna do, it's never gonna bring back your people, but I want to at least try. Like right. I just wanted one scene. But
yeah, that would have been great to have.
I only have, like, really one big note, because my other note for... Because we've already kind of touched on all my other notes, but my other note is Rex worked for the Empire, and that hurts my feelings.
Yeah. I wonder if it was more out of trying to survive and not... Because he might not have had the resources or the connections to be able to get out right away. I'm trying to remember how even...
We know from the Ahsoka novel that he took the blame for killing Ahsoka, quote-unquote.
That's right, yeah.
Well, you know, it's like Yularen, too, from Clone Wars, you know. A lot of them just, I mean, in one way, you know, the Palpatine took over and the Empire showed up. But to everybody who is already in the army, they're just still in the army, you know. Yeah. They're like, well, politics have changed and stuff like that. And we're seeing a little bit of that in Resistance too, of people who are just like, the First Order, the Empire, you know, that's politics. I don't really know about that. So I think a lot of people in the military were just like, well, we'll see how it goes. They were probably still in the same barracks and under the same rules and stuff. So it was, you got to sort of think of it from their point of view that they weren't just like, ooh, the evil Empire took over. They're just like, this is, the way politics are going. Yeah. Somebody bought our store, but I'm still in you know, cooking goods.
Yeah, basically.
Still in electronics, you know, still got my badge and helping everybody out, so.
Yeah.
The only, like, other note that I have is one of the reasons why I love the Filoniverse so much as much as I do, and they do this so well time and time again, and it's the benefits of just being on a television show, because in a movie you only have like 2.5 hours to showcase it, but with a TV show you have seasons to handle it, is they just handle PTSD so well, because they never do it as like, here's a very special episode of Rebels discussing PTSD. Like, they just hand it actively in the story. Like, we saw Ahsoka in Clone Wars struggling with PTSD as a child soldier. We're seeing it here with both Wolf and Kanan. Like, Wolf is clearly getting triggered because there's a Jedi there. And I would even say, like, we're seeing it again with, like, Yeager in Resistance whenever it comes to his family and, like, his fighting and his past. And I'm really hoping this happens to Kaz in season 2, like, because he just lost his homeworld.
Mm.
And so this is one of the reasons why I love the TV shows, because they never present it as, like, a very special episode about PTSD. It's all always done actively in the stories. Like, we're seeing Rex having to, like, hold Wolf, like, physically hold him and saying, these are not the Jedi that betrayed us. And it's always so well done because it's just presented naturally in the story. Like, I love the line in the second Geonosis arc in Clone Wars where Ahsoka looks at Barriss and goes, I don't know what to do when it's quiet. Like, I don't know what to do with silence. I don't understand how my brain works when it's quiet.
Right.
And it's just always so well done in the Filoniverse.
Yeah, and they always they present it realistically.
Yeah.
It's not a done deal. You didn't get over it. It didn't go away. You just learn to live with it, and learn to have a life with it. And to me, that is important because it so many times we see very unrealistic presentations of real problems, and people actually believe that is that easy, and it's not. And it just does not just go away. It stays there. You just learn to live with it, to work through it.
Mm.
Yeah. And we know it's going to come up again in the episode of The Last Battle that we were talking about. Like, Rex is having flashbacks. He's like calling out Cody's yes. name just on instinct.
Right.
And it never goes away. It's probably never going to go away.
And that even in the fishing for the Jupa, like Rex, the way that Rex commands and gives out his orders, it's very, you know, this is where we're going to make our last stand. And it's like they're in a battle.
Yeah,
like they're never really out of it.
Well, like even like just normal veterans have been trained to be like that. But these guys not only were trained like that, they were literally like bred and partially programmed to be like that. So mm-hmm. now that they're not in a war, they got to have something to do mimic. With all that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm sure it doesn't, they just didn't shut off their, I mean, it's built into their genetics.
Yeah.
I just would love to see them cooking dinner. Just be like, you're going to be cutting up the Jupiter here and you're going to be frying it. I'm going to be on braising. I'm going to make a sauce. But like, yeah, I mean, we joke, but like, it's presented so well mm-hmm. always throughout the Filoniverse. Like, they did it in Clone Wars. We're seeing it now in Resistance. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in future Resistance episodes with a character like Kaz. I think Kaz is going to have to really address a lot of things in season two. One of the things I'm looking forward to. And Tam, I think, is going to kind of go through this a little bit as well.
Oh, yeah.
What is she going to do when she has to look back on all this, and how is it going to affect her?
Exactly. Oh, such great questions, and I can't wait to see how they tackle them.
Yeah.
That's what I like, is they tackle that stuff in a show that's, you know, basically aimed ideally at what, like,
this I would is say, on what,
12, Disney. To 12 to 15-year-olds?
Yeah.
It's on Disney.
And it's on, well, Clone Wars wasn't, though. That was, and like, and it was a little harsher, and it was also set like in the midst of war, but that Rebels is tackling that being Disney, because that was a big concern of Hope and mine, that the show would be kind of like milded down compared to Clone Wars, and it turned out not to at all. As a matter of fact, some of the intense stuff coming in Rebels is as intense as anything in Clone Wars.
I mean, season four, I mean, that alone is just like, what?
Yeah. Sometimes Jonah and I looked at each other and I was like, this is for kids, right?
Yeah.
There's a great quote from, who is he? He is a YouTube film critic. God, his name just floated out of my brain. Anyway, whenever he covers dark stuff in kids' movies, he always stops and goes, you know, for kids.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, the wicked stepsisters in Cinderella were sawing off their toes to fit the slipper on.
Yeah,
that's true.
The original fairy tales. So.
Yep, that is true.
Well, that's all I have for Act Two. Did you guys have anything else you wanted to add?
Just the fact that we get to see Callus in this episode is always a treat.
Right before he becomes sexy hot Callus.
Yeah, hot
Callus. Hashtag hot Callus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I love Callus.
I only got, like, one other little visual note. The very first scene coming in with the Star Destroyers all sort of crossing over each other.
Oh, from yes!
Very Force Awakens looking sort of scene. It was just neat. It was a neat visual. I'm the visual guy on J-Guys and Jedi.
I'm the character lady. He does visuals, I do characters, it's fine.
Yeah, that was. I remember noticing that when we rewatched it recently, and I thought, man, I don't think I ever paid attention to that before.
Now, because you're coming more to my side when you're watching these things, where we just enjoying it.
Yeah, that's right.
Not looking for the little things.
I was looking for like lines, specific things that they were saying to be able to talk about.
Yeah. How much do you love?
But that scene there that you just mentioned, I also noticed that it was so, and this is my thing with the Rebels. I love the visuals. Their graphics, they always had such nice graphics, especially in space.
They were beautiful. So well, like lighting and like setting moods and like tones. It's so well.
I think Resistance is as far as the animation goes, the lighting in Resistance, the way they use light in that, because it's set in a sunny place most of the time and is really, really effective. Well, like Star Wars has always been visual, so you gotta have that aspect of it to make it work. And oh boy, this is just and actually talking to you reminded me with talking about watching something and looking for things to talk about instead of just watching it. I remember when I first watched Rebels through when we were doing Clone Wars, and I knew eventually someday we'd get to Rebels. But every time a episode would come on TV, I would grab for my notebook to start taking notes on Act One and be like, oh, wait, I can just watch this. That's what I'm doing with Resistance. And that's what I'm doing with Resistance right now. I'm like, oh, I have to. No, I don't really have to pay too much attention. I'm going to watch this again.
Yeah.
If you want to hear.
There's always another time.
Yeah,
if
I can just enjoy it.
If you want to hear more Resistance commentary that you don't want to wait 2 years on our show, it's in the Geeky Bubble.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, everyone ready for Act 3?
Let's do it.
I'm saying this because I'm also looking at time.
No worries.
Act 3. Big Bongo bursts up from the sand with Zeb halfway down its throat. And the thing is pissed. I can't talk anymore. Meanwhile, Gregor is just having the time of his life right now. He came for a good time and he's getting one. And Big Bongo is all like, I have a lasagna in my mouth. And everyone's like, holy shit, it's really big. Unlike Gregor, who is pulling a Thor from Thor Ragnarok, and he is just going, yes! I love that shot of Gregor. I'm just like shouting and screaming. But not Rex. Rex takes the shot and he nails the Jupa right in the mouth. And the Jupa is like, ow, this is the worst day ever. And it falls over dead. And the space family is panicking and they wait. And Zeb crawls out of the creature's mouth covered in slime. And Gregor runs down there all excited, and he praises Zeb for being awesome, because Zeb is awesome. I named one of my cats after him. My little Zeb. Actually, no, he's not little. He's a big fucking cat. All he does is eat and sleep. And Zeb was like, that was awesome! Let's do it again! And Kanan's like, well, this was all terrible. Can we just get the coordinates to the base and go home? But Rex invites them all to dinner, which the rest of the crew agrees to. Later that evening, Space Dad calls Space Mom, and Hera's like, oh, clones! Oh, love, you must be having the worst time right now. Leave it to Ahsoka to surprise you. But Kanan, look, I know you have a past with clones, but I remember the clones with the Jedi saving my life. Give them a chance, okay? And Space Dad is just like, ugh, fine. Space Wife is always right. And Hera's like, damn right, Space Wife is always right. And she cuts off the transmission. When he leaves, the probe droid sneaks into the Phantom. Well, Rex meets up with them and gives them a list of potential bases, and Sabine goes to download them. And Rex takes Ezra to the side, and he tells Ezra that a Jedi said that the best leaders lead by example, and Ezra does that well, and I cry for the demise of Rex and Anakin's friendship because Anakin is turned into a garbage man. Ezra reaches out to see if Rex will join them, and Rex doesn't want to jump into another war again, saying that he outserved his purpose. He also questions the Clone Wars, and was it even worth it? And Cut LaQuane would be so proud of him right now. I know. I wonder about Cut LaQuane a lot.
Me too!
Did his chip activate? Did he leave his family?
Cut and Run LaQuane?
Get out.
Cut and Run.
Inside the walker, Sabine goes to download the info, but notices something's kind of off. And she busts out Sile with the data pad because one of the clones gave them up to the Empire. More than that, all the messages Ahsoka sent to Rex were blocked too. And Rex is like, what? My BFF tried to call me? And he slowly turns and looks at Wolf, who is trying really hard not to look suspicious right now. And Kanan's like, I told you, bitches, but no one believed me. These clones, they're snakes. They're snaky, snaky, snaky clones.
That's exactly how it went down in the episode. Exactly.
It's exactly how, calling them snake bitches.
Yes.
These snake bitches. I honestly believe that if it wasn't a Disney show, Kanan would just be swearing up the wazoo. He'd just be being like, fuck.
He was like making two little fangs with his fingers in front of his mouth.
And Rex realizes what happened, and he confronts Wolf about it. Well, Wolf's self-preservation kicks in, and he doesn't want to get nailed by the Empire for helping a Jedi. And Rex says that they're free men. The Clone Wars are over. They can't live in fear anymore. And Wolf realizes that Rex is right and apologizes. Sabine hurries off to warn Hera, but when she gets to the Phantom, the probe droid has already done some damage to the Phantom, so their minivan is down. And it shoots back at her and goes on the attack. And the probe is dodging and avoiding the blaster fire from the enemies. And it makes a break for the desert. And it flies out to the desert. And Ezra tosses Grunkle Rex a sniper rifle to make it right. And in one badass shot, Rex takes out the droid before it can get away. And everyone's like, hooray, Rex is the best! I'm hoping John a high five.
Woo!
I just keep clapping. No high five.
And I'm lifting my arm.
And she's actually lifting her arm.
High five.
Except for Kanan, who is as miffed can be. He's a miffer. And he heads out towards the probe droid. And that night, the news is pretty grim. The engine of the Phantom took a direct hit, so they're not going anywhere. And the Empire is on its way. Bum, 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 to be continued.
Alright, I just want to say, Hope, do you remember how scared shitless we were after this episode originally aired? Because I remember talking about it with you, and, like, I was totally, like, the first time I saw this, I was totally of the opinion that this was going to be, like, either there was going to be two ways that this was going to end. It was going to be just a two-part episode where we get to see what Rex is up to, and then we leave him behind, you know, sort of like R2 and 3PO in the, like, second episode or whatever. Or it was going to be the end of Rex. You know, that Rex was going to sacrifice himself to save them. And I remember, like, every second that Rex was in Rebels, Hope, you were just like, oh, come on, no, please.
Yeah, I don't remember that after this episode, but until they confirmed he was on Endor, I was always scared shitless for Rex.
Right, right. This is where the fear started, right here, was right at this point when he showed back up. It's like, it's Rex. Oh, no. The laws of drama say that Rex may die soon.
Yeah, because that's the thing that we ran in constantly with Clone Wars was any of the prequel characters like Anakin, Padme, and Obi-Wan, we knew they were going to be okay. But characters like Ahsoka and Rex, we never knew if they would survive.
Exactly.
And, well, like Ahsoka was almost like, I was like, oh, geez, this is cute. They've introduced this perky young Padawan for Anakin, but don't they know that she must die?
point
I was just like, that's like kind of her perkiness was like kind of dark, you know, because I was like, oh my God, are they gonna kill this perky kid sometime, or are we just gonna assume they did, or you know?
But foolish me, I didn't know they were.
Yeah, I didn't know they were way ahead of me on that.
Yeah. So, what did you guys think of this final act?
I love the conversation between Rex and Ezra.
You know, I purposely put in very few Ezra notes because I thought you would cover them all.
Yeah. And you know, I love the fact that I like to think that Rex saw a little bit of Ahsoka in Ezra throughout this episode. And I like that he took him aside to have that conversation. And Ezra said something along the lines of, you know, they were fighting for what they believed in at the time, even though, you know, looking back, it doesn't make any sense. But I also love just Ezra's overall trying to get Rex to be on their side and trying to get him to help. I'm jumping ahead of it, but you know, that final episode, family reunion and farewell, you know, all these people come together because Ezra has had an impact on them in some way. And this is where it starts with him and Rex. And this is why Rex is there at the very end of the series, because
that's why they're all there at the end of the series.
Yeah.
Rex and Gregor are there at the end of the series too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Ezra's like, I finally got I actually have a family again that I could trust, and he's ready to keep going with it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is the episode where I learned to love Gregor. And then at the end, I lose him.
Oh, yeah. Sad time.
But you have to fight for who he believes in.
He's my favorite. You know, Jonah can have Rex. But he's my favorite.
Dave can have Wolf.
Yeah, you know, I love Gregor. He's. I know what's going on, but at the same time, I don't have any clue of what's going on. Way of thinking and doing things. I love that. He became my favorite.
Did you ever see his first episode in the Clone Wars?
No, she hasn't gotten there yet, actually.
Because he's actually a very similar character. Because he was a clone that had amnesia and had to remember who he was. And so this is kind of like the backwards of that. Like, he knows who he is, but because of the traumas of his past, he's kind of forgetting that he's not as like secure in that as like, say, Rex is. So it's
I forgot that's the episode where asshole guy gets to eat garbage, right?
Yeah, you loved
it. Yeah.
It was the one episode that we liked. We hate the droid arc.
Oh, yeah, I know that's a common sentiment in the fan community.
Here's the not common one that people always get, like, kind of fuss at us about. Chris and I hate the Mortis arc.
Oh, yeah. You know, I know a lot of people, actually, who do not like that arc.
I like the first episode. I think the first episode does everything it needs to do. You don't need the other two.
Don't like when it goes Dungeons & Dragons. It feels more like Dungeons & Dragons and chessmen and Celtic stuff than Star Wars to me. I feel better about it now with the end after seeing Rebels. I think the stuff they did to sort of work in with that, like, smoothed it out a little bit for me. But yeah, not a big fan.
Go back in the Star episodes on Mortis where we shit on it hard.
Gregor is kind of like
the opposite. I would highly like suggest you going and watching Gregor's first episode. It's a really great episode that really introduces him. I think you would absolutely love it because he's the same person as he is here, but just in opposite situations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I still have to watch more Clone Wars before I even start the new one.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know how we're going to work out the schedule. But it's funny because when the announcement dropped at San Diego Comic-Con, of course, I was super excited. But in the back of my mind, I was like, dang, how am I going to make this work?
We actually have a recording of me crying. Because I was at work and when I found out, and I sat down behind the counter and just started sobbing. And I my coworker was like, Hope, you should go on a break. So I ran outside and I called Chris, And I called Chris on Skype, and we actually have a recording of me just sobbing for like a minute. but Chris.
Yeah, usually it's like salesmen and stuff that leave messages on my Skype. That one was that one was a little of a surprise.
But I love Ezra in this episode. I think he really truly stands in for his name, like Bridger. He is the bridge of between Kanan and Rex, and like he will continue to be that for the next several episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I really had like purposely put no Ezra episodes notes in here because I thought you would cover all of them. You disappoint me, Jonna.
No, I'm sorry. let's see, what else can I say about Ezra?
He's beautiful. He's so adorable. He has great hair.
Yes, his beautiful, lovely hair.
He's a shiny boy. He's a good boy. You don't have to like force Ezra notes. I'm sorry.
No, I just feel like I should because it's, you know, it's my thing.
It's your boy.
Yeah, that's my boy.
I'm just happy that we got.
He's a good boy.
I'm just happy that we got people on the show that we can get laughs from Cut LaQuain jokes.
Yeah, that was such a great one. Cut and Run LaQuain.
That joke would not have gone over as well. Any of the Cut LaQuain references would not have gone over very well at work. People would have been just like, "What the hell are you talking about again this time?"
But that was great. I don't think I've heard that one. Cut and Run LaQuain. That's so good.
Well, one of my notes, I actually really like the comparisons between Kanan and Rex in this final act, because Kanan has been talking about, like, in the last couple episodes about how he doesn't want to fight in another war. He doesn't want to be in the rebellion. He just wants to do his own thing. And here we have Rex saying that he is a soldier, but he has outserved his purpose and can't fight. So you have one person who doesn't want to fight in another war. You have another person who probably would be cool with fighting, but he doesn't believe that he can fight. And both of them don't like the Empire, but both of them don't feel like that they can help the rebellion. And I thought that was a very interesting comparison, that they both have these similar sentiments about the same thing, and they're just more similar than they realize. Like Kanan and Rex actually have so much in common because they fought in the same war.
It's almost like,
what is a imposter syndrome or whatever, you know?
Yeah, the thing I struggle with constantly whenever I sit down to write things. Yeah.
That's hard say. Hard say. Yeah.
Well, fortunately, it hasn't stopped you, though, so far.
No, I do have a novel-length Thrawn fanfiction. But, Ma, you were about to say something about that.
No, I was just going to basically the same thing that you were saying. It's like that they are so similar. They basically come from the same place. They have similar paths. They have something in common. And I like how they are not into it now, but how they progress through the series and how they become what they were meant to be. Both of them, not just Kanan, but Rex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's meant to be a leader. That's what he's always been. Yeah. It's actually kind of sad seeing him as an old retired man. Looking at Padme's picture and wishing for better days.
Well, that's the funny thing is all through Clone Wars, we're like, how sad it is that these guys are doomed to be soldiers till they die in what looks like it could be a never-ending war. And now that it's over, it's sort of like, well, there's not really a lot else they're qualified to do.
Right. And I actually remember way early when Rex was announced to be part of this season. I remember on Tumblr, there were a lot of people who were against it. They were like, why are they bringing Rex into another war? They should just leave him alone. They should leave the clones alone. And I'm like, but this is their chance to fight for something that they actually believe in.
Yeah, they're built to fight. They can't do anything else, but this time they can like choose what they want to do.
This is their choice now.
Rex even says that to Wolf. He says, we're free now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference, is they're choosing their fight. They're not being told to fight. And that's the difference.
Yeah.
And then Gregor died.
Oh.
But he died doing what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
Not something that he was forced into. He died deceived into doing. He died a free man. He died doing something that he chose to do, that he wanted to do. And one of the things that I like with bringing Rex is that the idea that just because you're old, just because you're retired, doesn't mean that you have no worth, that you don't have a place in the world to fill. And they were out there in the desert, forgotten, doing nothing. But now they're coming back and they're showing their worth. They're showing that they're more than just clones.
Right.
Yeah. And just because, like, you get over the age of 35 doesn't mean that you don't have worth anymore. I mean, that's a problem in hell, our society. Look at freaking Hollywood. When an actress gets over a specific age, apparently they can't function anymore. And that's so not true, because Helen Mirren is amazing.
Yes.
She's a national treasure.
She's a goddess.
Yes, always. And Julie Andrews, ugh. I didn't actually think of it. That's a very valid point, that, like, even when you get up there in age, it doesn't mean that you don't have worth. I actually never thought of it that way.
And you know what's, I think we had referenced this movie in this episode, that when we recorded our episode for this episode. I know I just said episode like three times.
It's okay.
But it was that movie with, oh, shoot, now I can't remember what it's called. But it's a Battleship.
Battleship.
That's based on the thinking game.
Yeah.
But Battleship.
That good game, Jonah.
It is a good game, but the movie lacked in certain.
I just like the idea that you have, like are pissed off at the game battle. Curse that stinking game, Battleship.
You know, I love it. It's just that my uncle beats me every time we used to play.
Oh,
and it's okay. Like Scrabble. It's like our Scrabble is another game that he beats me in, and I can't stand that game anymore because of him. But yes, Battleship. But in that movie, one of my favorite parts is when the veterans come into play, because they're operating on an old ship that is able to fight back against the newer technology that aliens were involved, right? I forgot about that. But yeah, I love that part of the movie, because it's seeing these people get back into the fight on their own terms. And I just love that part. And it reminded me of the clones in this episode and in the following episode too.
Well, I really don't have any other notes. My only other note is I just think it would be cool if they bring Kix into Resistance. That way you have clones in all three of the Floatyverse shows. Even if it's just for an episode, I want Kix into Resistance.
What I also really loved at the end, I think someone had made a comment on this on Twitter when the episode had first aired, but someone made the comment of, why are they looking up at the sky? At the very end when they're around the probe droid that's now been destroyed, but just looking up at the sky, waiting for something to come down on them.
Well, a callus just like falls out of the sky and lands in the dirt.
Yeah.
Well, hello there.
That's when your Grievous shows up. He drops out of the sky.
Just see, now we're writing our fan fiction. Like.
Yeah. And of course that amazing shot that Rex took when Ezra tossed the blaster over to him, that giant bazooka type blaster.
And then Gregor says, "Oh, Rex still got it."
Yes, that's right. I love that. And actually, in rewatching the episode, I was like, "Oh, look at that! So beautiful."
Yeah,
I know. I know. Every movement Rex did in that episode was beautiful.
Yes, it was. Oh.
I remember when this episode came out, I watched it like three times in a row.
Yeah, it was a great episode overall. And I'm trying to think of what other... I also love Sabine taking part in the mechanical side of things.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't touched on
I love the dynamic between Ezra and Sabine, because Ezra is like, Sabine, we need this now. And I says, I know, I'm going there, you know? And they said this mutual connection, because he needs her and she needs to do what she has to do in order for him to do what he needs to do,
yeah.
You know? And I like it. I love it.
And I love her new design.
Oh, yeah.
It feels great.
Yeah.
That's all I have for Act 3. Does anybody else have anything else?
I just remember the first time I saw this at the end of this, I was kind of disappointed that Ahsoka... So I was like... I was sort of thinking Ahsoka and Rex might just be little cameos, and I was kind of disappointed that Ahsoka was like, all right, I'm back. All right, you guys go on an adventure. I'll see you later. And I was just like, oh.
That's right.
But now that I have the scope of the whole show, I'm not sweating it at
just
all.
Just wait for Twilight and see if
it made for a better reunion later on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just wait for Twilight Apprentice, where you'll hear Hope just cry for 2 hours. That's just going to be our entire episode. It's just me sobbing for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I know you had touched on this very briefly in the recap, Hope, but you mentioned how Hera had to stay behind with Chopper. And, you know, I wonder how the episode would have been different had Hera been there.
Oh, yeah, to, like, calm Kanan as he was going?
Yeah, like physically there.
I honestly kind of like that she wasn't there, because then if she was there, she'd be filling in Ezra's role.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
she'd be sort of torn between being a leader and, like, probably trying to, like, get Kanan under control. It's probably better that she was off of the ship and could have something she could focus on that was, like, material. Actually, that's probably what Kanan should have been doing.
But I think if Hera was there, like, it'd be filling in Ezra's role, and he wouldn't be having his moments of this episode.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good point. It's interesting, though, right? Like, he and Hera share those similar, I guess,
characteristics
and approach.
Yeah,
he's thrown into it, actually, because he wasn't like that. We just finished season one, and he was definitely not like that in the first half, but it's something that he's grown into it. And normally,
gained Hera's trust, for sure.
Yeah. Every time Hera has a talk with him, Ezra's a little bit better.
Space mom to the rescue.
The best space mom of Star Wars.
But if anything, that is the underlying theme through the whole all the seasons, is he's learning, he's getting there.
Mm.
He's on a journey, you know. And one of the things that I remember me and Jonah used to say a lot, you know, you have to be patient. He's learning. He's getting there.
Yeah.
He's going to be doing this. And next week he may be going to step back, but then he's going to come back again, because that is part of growing up.
Yeah.
That's what it means to grow up.
Yeah. I remember when people would be like, when is he going to get to that point where he's already, you know, like Return of the Jedi type Luke? And I'm like, he can't just be that. He needs to, you know, go through all the trials and tribulations first. And
oh my God, how people would complain if he was just like that. They were already there was already a little level of complaining about that he was too powerful at some points, you know, but
oh yeah.
Yeah. He's a 15-year-old boy who actually liked Harry Potter year 5.
That's right. Oh man, the order
of the Phoenix. He's a 15-year-old boy.
Right.
And,
yeah,
like,
oh yeah.
I made the mistake of constantly comparing Ezra to Ahsoka. That was my early on mistake, because I'd be like, well, why isn't he like Ahsoka then? But then Ahsoka was trained from a baby to be a child soldier in a war at 15. Right. Ezra was an orphan until 15, living on his own. They are two very different characters. And I, like, when I realized that, I was like, oh my God, why am I comparing them together? Why?
Yeah.
They're two different paths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't have anything else for the episode. Does anybody else?
No, all the little notes that I had in my mind, those were the ones that I wanted to touch on.
Yeah. Chris, do you have anything else?
No, I'm ready to score it up.
This is where we score it up on a numerical scale from 1 to 10. So we'll let you guys go first, or our guests.
Let's see. I think I would give this episode it's hard because it's so connected to Relics of the Old Republic. So yeah. It's like you can't really score it on its own. Like I want to score the whole thing together. But cool. I guess
you're the guest. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Done a show now. Me and Chris are out. You guys are now in charge of Jay, Guys, and Jedi. Bye.
Yeah, let the listeners complain about continuity. We don't care.
Joanna Marie.
Yes.
This is the point where you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Jesus.
Yes. Yes.
Said, Ma, did it feel good to say fuck on a show?
Oh yeah.
All right, I just moved the class mark up to the new high point.
Woo! Oh, even higher.
Thank you.
I'm going to give it.
Blushing? I can hear you blushing.
I am blushing. Yeah.
I can hear it in your voice.
I'm gonna give it. I would give it a 9, I think. It's up there. It's one of those episodes that did such a great job of introducing, you know, fan favorite characters and still weaving them into the story that they're developing or that they were developing for Rebels. And I think for that alone, I think they did a fantastic job.
What about you, Mark, for this episode?
I will give it, I don't know, I would say 8, 8.5, 9.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, like you said, it did a very good job of weaving all characters into the new plot. I would say, yeah, 8.5, 9.
What about you, Chris?
I gave it my first instinct was to give it a 9, but I gave it an 8.5 just because I know where it's going next episode, and I wanted to give myself a little more into the 9 higher score range. Because I don't have the privilege of a guest of doing whatever the fuck I want. I have to play by the rules of the show. So I'm going 8.5.
I also gave it an 8.5 out of 10. I think just having Rex back is amazing. I also think
I'm surprised it didn't get a 10 just for sheer Rex-tacy.
I'm going to tell you right now, Twilight of the Apprentice is my 10%.
Yeah.
We're just going to say that right now.
Oh, man, I love that.
But for me, I also think this episode does a really good job showcasing, like, trauma after war is over. And, like, how they subtly, like, cover mental illness and PTSD. I think that's also something that this episode does really, really well. And the Filoniverse always does that really well. So I gave it an 8.5 because also I know where we're going next week and I want to have 9 territory, too.
Yeah, I was going to say the next episode could be like the biggest garbage fire in the world. But if the last 3 minutes of it were intact, it would probably still get a 10 from Hope. That's my prediction.
Talos versus Rex next week. It's going to be awesome.
So let's put it on a different scale, on a Rex scale. What will you give it?
Oh, a 10.
A 10?
No, I'm sorry. We're going 11 for sexiness.
Oh, yeah.
Maximum Rex.
Rex Unleashed. Sunday. Clones will be facing off against stormtroopers. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on iTunes, Twitter, or on the Two True Freaks Facebook page, especially on iTunes, because when you rate and review the show, it helps people find the show. We are not doing feedback this week, though, just because we have guests and this is a bit of a longer episode. So send us in your feedback and we'll get back to that next week. And that's all we have. So, ladies, where can people find you?
Yeah, so they can find me at Blue Jay Guys, and the Geeky Bubble Pod is at Geeky Bubble. And they can also find my writings at thewookiegunner.com, and that's Wookie with two E's.
It's really funny because, like, Chris sent me a link, and he was like, I bet you would really like this Wookie Gunner site. I'm like, Chris, that's John. And he was like, oh!
It was recommended to me on, it was recommended to me on Facebook by Facebook in some way. You know, it was, they had maybe paid promotion or something, but it was recommended for me. But I had, for some reason, I didn't really understand how it worked, and I thought Hope had sent me a link to it, and I'm like, oh, here's a podcast that Hope sent me to. And then I started looking at the stuff on the Wookiee Gunner, and I'm like, oh yeah, this is totally like something Hope would find. This is, and then I was like, wait a minute, this is like promoted. Oh, I'm like, Hope needs to know about this.
Is it really? Because I never put a cent in Facebook to promote things.
It might have been just Facebook, no, like algorithm. Star Wars, and yeah. We were talking, like, everybody's talking about Jay Guys and Cutler Quain, and what are the odds of that? You know.
Yeah. Oh, that's so, so cool, though.
So of all the evil of Facebook, it brought these two podcasts together.
Nice.
So at least there's one. At least that made Facebook worth it.
Worth it. And Ma, where can fans find you?
Fan can find me at Whovian214.
Are you a Doctor Who fan?
Oh yeah,
she's actually wearing a Doctor Who shirt right now.
You know, we have a Doctor Who podcast that's on like roughly whenever we want to make one schedule that kind of Hope's in charge of.
Chris, look at that, Ma.
I'm a terrible friend. I never told you. Ma also is a huge Star Trek fan.
Yes.
And so is Hope's mom. So I'm smelling some Star Trek coming. I mean, we got Discovery going on.
Oh my God, it's so good.
There's an animated show coming, supposedly. We got Quentin Tarantino. We got Picard.
Picard, that's right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Chris also loves
plenty of Star Trek, and then there's all the Kirk out there. What's your favorite Star Trek?
Ooh, let me see. To pick a favorite,
you always went with Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, Deep Space Nine and the New Generation.
Next Generation.
The Next Generation. Well, they're the New Generation. The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine.
Ooh, I still haven't watched I'm saving Deep Space Nine.
I'm feeling her.
I haven't watched that Voyager yet.
Oh, I love Voyager, yeah.
I'm feeling our next show should just be a shoot the shit show where we happen to talk about Star Trek, Star Wars, whatever happens. We love shoot the shit shows where we just talk about whatever. They're really easy for Chris to edit.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, where can people find you?
You can find me at twotruefreaks.com. That is a website just bursting at the seams with thousands upon millions of podcasts made by the Two True Freaks podcasters.
And that's not a joke. There's like 40 shows on our network.
And maybe 40 of them aren't really like actively like pumping out podcasts, but that's kind of a good thing because I don't know if there's such a thing as too many podcasts, but that might be too many Two True Freak podcasts. As it is, we're sort of reaching Two True Freaks podcast saturation, if that's even possible in the world. But yeah, we've got podcasts on everything from wrestling to
Power Rangers.
To what?
Power Rangers, comics.
Power Rangers, yeah. We just recently added a Power Rangers.
We have Is It Jaws, where movies are compared to if they're as good as Jaws.
I just gotta say, and I never mentioned it enough in this part, is that is like one of my favorite just ideas for a show, was using he doesn't only use Jaws as a guidepost of it. He uses all four Jaws movies. So when you bring a movie to the table, and then at the end they have to decide whether it's a Jaws, Jaws 2, Jaws 3, or Jaws 4.
That's amazing.
And yeah, you can't get any more entertaining than that. and you know, and another thing about podcasts is you come up with your new podcast, and then you come up with your witty name that you think you thought of, and then you Google it, and then there's 8 other podcasts that have it. Guaranteed, yeah. There's no other podcast called Is It Jaws. He didn't even have to search for that one to know that he had the. That's Mr. Paul Spataro. New as shit. Nailed down his podcast. Somebody said to me, "What's a Jay Guys? That sounds like it's racist or something."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I said, "Well, it's not. Don't worry."
Oh, it's a Mandalorian. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. But they're not going to know what a Mandalorian is at that point. But anyway, that's where we keep our podcasts, thousands of them. And sometimes I swim in them like Scrooge McDuck in his money pit, except they don't make me any money. That's okay, because it's a labor
of love.
True that,
ring the bell.
It is a labor of love indeed.
Yeah. And if you like go to our Two True Freaks podcast, you can see all the podcasts as they're put up. And you can also go to Facebook to the Two True Freaks page where we'll put our podcasts up. You can go to the Two True Freaks Cantina where we basically just shoot the shit. And a lot of our podcasters also have their own Facebook pages. We also have a Twitter page run by the legendary, the multi-tiered, the man who plays three-dimensional chess while he's playing four-dimensional Tetris and listening to every podcast in the universe, Gene, the podcasting machine. Hit it.
Gene. We do that every episode.
Who is also the master of the podcast The Hammer Strikes, and was I guess dungeon mastering for like 7 hours with Chris Tyler and some other people over Skype the other night.
Oh, cool.
So actually I don't know if he was a dungeon master, but his friend Jeff was anyway,
it doesn't matter. It's 11 o'clock, Chris. I need to eat cereal and go to bed.
Where can they find you, Hope? We're getting you to your honeycombs, Hope.
You can find me at JGuysAndJedi. I run our Twitter account. You can also find me at Hope Malnax on Twitter. I have a website called GeekyGirlExperience.com where lately I've been writing a lot about Resistance just because it's been on. I also write fan fiction on Archive of Our Own. My main story is called Forces of Gravity. My name on there is Chaos Lydia. It's a Thrawn fan fiction. I also have started a second story called The Lucky Leku, where Agent Kallus has to investigate a pop band of Twi'leks, because one of these Twi'lek, think like NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, but one of them is a rebel spy.
Yeah.
That's the story I'm writing in my free time.
Amazing.
I want to hear The Lucky Leku, personally.
You want to hear them?
I want to hear that band.
Look up the anime Uda no Prinsima, the Japanese version of it. Any of their songs, that's what I imagine them sounding
okay.
So, but you can find that on Archive of Our Own. So, well, this is fun. You guys are, like, outside of our listeners, you guys are our first official guests.
Yay! Oh my gosh, well... We definitely want to be back on the show anytime you want us. So.
Oh my God, you are welcome on this show anytime.
Like, choose any season 3 or 4 episodes. I mean, I can tell you not Stealth Strike or Twilight of the Apprentice for this season because we've roped in another guest. Oh. Might be from Roll to Fill podcast.
Hope has gone guest crazy lately.
Well,
Two Freaks has gone guest crazy. We've been having a lot of guests on after not having guests for years and years. And...
For 10 years, no guests, now they exploded. Guests everywhere. It's our Scrooge McDuck money pool of swimming through guests.
We're like Willy Wonka. We've opened up the chocolate factory.
Yeah.
Yoda's opened up the chocolate factory too.
Yeah. You guys don't have to live with him every week.
We put diapers on him about 6 months ago and things have been worked out a lot better.
Thank you guys so much for being on the show, and I can't wait to hear like more of you guys on the show. I know you guys are on a hiatus, but are you guys planning anything over the summer until Resistance comes back?
Oh yeah, we're definitely gonna do stuff over the summer. I'm just waiting until like after Celebration to finally like breathe, and then I'll start planning our over the, you know, that break right there before Resistance season 2.
Yay!
So, well, but thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you. I had a lot of fun.
And you gotta say fuck
first. Yes.
You gotta say fuck. It was great. We had
Yeah, you gotta come back. Mom podcast. Needs an outlet.
Yes, she does. She does.
Well, thank you guys. And we'll see you all next week. Bye. Yay.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
We were finally invited aboard one of these spacecraft, which landed near Ann Arbor, Michigan on October the 24th of 1954. This is a drawing of the craft. As I was leaving the craft, the commander, Soltek, said, "Soon others of your people will be able to have an experience similar to this."